Yeah, boy, it's the Surround Sound Podcast, baby.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We're coming live from Music Row Studios. This is the latest edition of the Surround Sound Podcast. I am your host, R. Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. It is March Madness, baby. On this week's show, we'll have your tournament brackets. Yeah, I'll give you the teams to fill out your tournament brackets, men and women. All you got to do is stay tuned, and I'll have that information for you. Also on this week's show, NFL news. Offseason is going crazy leading up to the NFL draft. We'll give you the latest on your favorite teams on this week's show as well. Also, we get into a little political news as we do. Donald Trump needs a little loan. Yeah, Donald Trump is needing a little loan, quite possibly. Also, in the entertainment section, Glow and Joe for 2024. Glorilla and Joe Biden have been hanging out, and we'll give you the latest on that news. Make sure you check us out on all socials. That's right, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Just search Surround Sound Podcast. We're also on X. Just search R. Hunter Jr. That's right, spell out Jr., J-U-N-I-O-R. So without further ado,
this is an Odyssey beat.
All right. That means it's time for the Fabulous Four Plus One More. This is where I give you four of the hottest joints, and then I give you one more just because. Now, free agency, offseason, and all that good stuff has started for the NFL. Now, let's start with our hometown team, the Titans. The Titans have signed offensive lineman Sadiq Charles, Mason Rudolph, backup quarterback, and wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Now, a lot of people are saying, like, hey, A.J. Brown wanted what? $100 million, and you signed Calvin Ridley for $92 million. Well, we'll take that $8 million, you know, savings right there. But it is bigger than that. Everybody that went into that decision of trading A.J. Brown is no longer with the Titans except for the ownership group. So the fact that A.J. Brown and the $100 million and Calvin Ridley and the $92 million is not assessing it all the same way with the same personnel. Big shout out to the Titans. Calvin Ridley, now let's remember, he had to sit out a year because of gambling when he was with the Atlanta Falcons. He then, the following year, signed to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and of course, now he is being signed in a free agent deal to the Tennessee Titans. Hopefully big things from Mr. Ridley. Alabama alum. Yeah, hopefully big things will be going on right there. Now, Mason Rudolph of the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be in the Titans' QB room, serving as a backup to Will Levis. So, speaking of Steelers' QB rooms, it has gotten doubly fortified with the likes of the acquiring of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Now, Russell comes via pseudo-free agency coming from the Denver Broncos. So we know what happened in Denver. He actually had a pretty good year, although he did definitely have some detractors during the year. I'll just say this, if Denver's defense would have played a little bit better, he might still be there. That's neither here nor there. Justin Fields finally gets the trade from the Bears, and now he's in the Steelers' QB room. This is the thing. It was thought that maybe this would be maybe some type of like quarterback controversy or quarterback, you know, battle for that starting position. Well, the Steelers got ahead of it, as they usually do, and they have said Russell is the starter, Justin will be the backup. But this is where I don't quite understand. They're thinking of signing Russell. And this is just the news that I've heard so far. They're thinking about signing Russell Wilson to an extension. Well, both of these quarterbacks are essentially on one-year deals. And you don't really know what Russell has left in the tank. And to be honest, Justin Fields was hurt and he had to learn new regimes just about every year when he was with the Chicago Bears. So we really don't know what Justin has either. But to already say we're trying to get Russell a new contract, I don't know. We'll see what Coach Tomlin and that Steelers organization has coming up. Speaking of the Chicago Bears, the Bears brought in a wealth of talent on the offensive side, signing Keenan Allen and running back DeAndre Swift to free agent deals. Also, Middle Tennessee's own Kevin Byard was signed as well. Now, as far as the Bears go, with that QB situation, it looks like we're going to draft, and I say we, that's my team, looks like we're going to draft Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. I was a fan of Justin Fields. I felt like Fields was a mobile QB that fell in line good with a cold weather city that has outside stadium. Bread on the street. It's supposed to be a $2 billion stadium coming here pretty soon. Speak about that at another time. Well, Caleb Williams was small. He did win a Heisman. However, his last year in college, he is small in stature, in frame. That just kind of gives me bad vibes. However, I'm pulling for Caleb now. If you get drafted by the Chicago Bears, we are pulling for you. Next up, the Dallas Cowboys. Out of all that you've heard as far as free agency, a team that you didn't hear making moves, as per their usual, is the Dallas Cowboys. Now, when it came to running back Derrick Henry, and Mr. Henry, former Tennessee Titan, now got signed to the Baltimore Ravens. A lot of people were talking about maybe the Dallas Cowboys would be in pursuit of him. And to me, when I actually really thought about it, I was like, Derrick Henry is not the Dallas Cowboys type of running back. Historically speaking, not production-wise, but historically speaking, when it comes to the Emmitt Smiths, the Tony Dorsetts, the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Julius Jones of the world, 6 feet and under and around about the 240 to 250-pound mark. That is not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is more like 6'3", 6'4", 260. Bruising running back. He catches the ball out of the backfield sometimes, but not like we have seen past Dallas Cowboy running backs. Nonetheless, even if they did want him, the salary cap doesn't look real friendly to him. And the reason why, well, we can't just all put it on this person, but one person, one position is going to swallow up $60 million in cap space, and that's Dak Prescott. Now, the quarterback position is the most important in the league, but they're going to have to do some restructuring with Mr. Prescott, and Mr. Prescott holds the keys to that. If he does not want to restructure, then Cowboys are stuck between a rock and a hard place. We'll see. Will Dak Prescott relinquish some of that $60 million he is owed for the 24-25 season? Next up, number two on the Surround Sound podcast, Fabulous 4 Plus 1 Mo, inside spring training. So that's Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani, the reigning AL MVP, of course, was signed to a contract by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, Mr. Shohei started throwing this week. That's very important ahead of Major League Baseball's opening series in Seoul, South Korea. We must remember, this is the first time that Mr. Ohtani will throw, has been throwing since his surgery back in September of 2023. Now, in the Dodgers versus Padres matchup, Ohtani will serve strictly as a designated hitter. So that is very important on the Major League Baseball front. Next week, we'll talk about Bo Jackson going in the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame with KC native and African-American history book illustrator Miss Crystal Wadlington. She'll be on the show. Make sure you check it out. All my teachers, make sure you check it out. Number three on the Fabulous 4 Plus 1 Mo, Tyson versus Paul. Now, while we were gone covering SEC men's tournament here in Nashville, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul announced that they're going to have a bout, and it will be July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It'll also be aired on Netflix, so get your Netflix account together because that's where you'll be able to watch it if you don't actually go to AT&T Stadium down there in right outside of Dallas, Texas. Now, this is some interesting news. Now, the last time that Mike Tyson fought was 2020 in an exhibition bout with Roy Jones Jr. He is 57. I ain't gonna lie to you. I have seen the video. Mike Tyson still looks fast and menacing. But his purse got leaked. It is double what he got back in 2020 in Roy Jones's fight, in the Roy Jones fight. It is leaked to be somewhere around the $20 million mark. He has doubled his purse from just 4 years ago. Nonetheless, it may be some restructuring of that because of the leak. Mike might be wanting some more money. It's crazy right there. I saw the video. Mike is fast. He's fierce. And he could talk me out of fighting Mike. Let's say I had the moxie to do it. Like, Mike will play the head game real well and will get you out of wanting to fight that dude. Like, it's crazy. I can't wait till July 20th to see that bout. Coming up in Entertainment Report, I think it's Joe and Glo for 2024. Yeah. Joe and Glo for 2024. Anyway, Glorilla is kicking it with Joe Biden, and I'll tell you why. Number four, speaking of Joe Biden, the State of the Union happened while we were away as well. The blow-by-blow was captured via Facebook and Twitter. Just make sure, well, X, formerly known as Twitter, make sure you go to x.com/R Hunter Jr. Make sure you spell out Jr., and you'll be able to go in and catch that. Speaking of tough fights, it means it's time for the One Mo. And the One Mo usually comes from the political front. Most times it's solely from President Biden. Uncle Joe, Stimmy, 46, a.k.a. Cocaine Wayne. Well, it's still from the political front. However, it's from 45. Yeah, we're going to go back and visit today's happenings of past President Donald Trump. Now, Donald J. Trump's lawyer said in a court filing that he faces insurmountable difficulties as he tries to raise cash for the civil fraud penalty he faces in New York. Now, by Monday, March 25th, the former president must secure an appeal bond for that half a Billie Jean. If he does not secure that amount, he's going to face a little bit of, criticism, possibility of financial disaster, and humiliation. And this is an election year, and he's the leading Republican candidate. So he could pay or he could liquidate his assets. He has around $400 million, and he could use that for the bond, or he's trying to get an insurance company to guarantee that half a billion. And roughly 30 companies have said no. And he's a former president, and he's in an election year. That is interesting all in and of itself. That comes courtesy of the New York Times and the BBC. We'll be back with more on the Surround Sound Podcast.
Up next on the Surround Sound Podcast, enjoy the Surround Sound Double Play.
Sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station. Sex with me, so amazing. Sex with me, so amazing. Vodka and water and a lemon. And a few other things I cannot mention. Ooh, na, 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 na. Five fingers on it, five fingers.
Go tonight, all night, I'm a roll. Even if I'm alone,
sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station.
Oh, you must think I'm your savior.
My dude, lock in to the show, Doing It for the Culture, the Surround Sound Podcast.
Welcome back to the Surround Sound Podcast. That's right, this week's show, all of my favorite ladies, from R&B to hip-hop, even to a little blues. So make sure you keep it locked right here, and you'll hear all of some of my favorites. Yeah, happy Women's History Month. All right, so it is Entertainment Report. And on the Entertainment Report, starting out, we always love to give you celebrity sports birthdays, anniversaries, and or deaths. We'll start with birthdays. First up, Bruce Willis. One of the actors of my childhood, Bruce Willis, yeah. Die Hard. Also, he did a movie with Tracy Morgan. The name of it escapes me right now, but it was hilarious. They did like a buddy cop type deal. It was awesome. Next up, Sting. It's Sting's birthday this week. That's right, the wrestler, Sting. Spike Lee. Now, we need to protect and continue to protect Spike Lee at all costs. He's one of the greatest African-American filmmakers. One of the greatest filmmakers, period, but definitely African-American filmmakers ever. Michael Rapaport, once again, an actor of my childhood. Him as Remy in Higher Learning will forever be dope to me. Jamal Crawford, he is the sixth man. He will forever be like my favorite sixth man. Also, he has a family like of a god. You would think Jesus came down off the cross and taught him handle. Andy Reid, he isn't quite yet the best NFL coach of all time, but he is the best current NFL coach.
That's really good.
Andy Reid.
All Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. This
big shout out to Bun B. It is his birthday as well. UGK fame. And posthumously, a happy birthday to Fred Rogers. Do you know who Fred Rogers is? Nope.
So I'll tell you. Podcast.
That's right. That Mr. Rogers. Fred Rogers. That Mr. Rogers. Yeah, Mr. Rogers. Thank you. Won't you come to my neighborhood and be mine and all that? Yeah. Posthumously. Happy birthday. Now, the first thing we're going to get to. Glorilla. Now, Glorilla has been doing a lot of stuff. Now, of course, and music is definitely one of them. Like, I heard, like, a new song, and she got the bop. As the young people say, she got the bop. And to kick off Women's History Month, she got invited to the White House. And if you go to Facebook.com/SurroundSoundPodcast or Instagram or TikTok. Either one. You know what? I'm going to put it on. I got it on YouTube too. Go to any of our socials. Search Surround Sound Podcast and you'll see Glorilla and Joe Biden. Cocaine Wayne and Big Glow for 2024. That's what I'm trying to do. Glow and Joe. I think that's kind of cool.
show hip hop is million different places.
And I'm in for all of them.
Cocaine Wayne and Big Glow.
Anyway, next up, Kanye West. Okay, so Kanye dropped a new song. Well, he didn't drop it. He gave a preview of a new song with Project Pat. I'm here for it, and you can go to those same socials and you'll be able to check that out as well. But Kanye West, Brazil is not here for you. They are not. And according to Hip Hop DX, U.S. Sun reported that he got turned down for a free concert in Rio de Janeiro. Like, you get turned down for a free concert. He wanted to have it on the famous Copacabana beach to kind of pay homage to the Rolling Stones, who did the same in 2006. Well, they said no, and he also wanted to do a concert at their Olympic Stadium. And they was like, oh, hell no, to the no, because of anti-Semitic remarks that Kanye West may or may not have made. And when I say may or may not have made, he made some remarks, but depending on who you talk to, are they anti-Semitic or not? Well, we don't know. Well, speaking of his ex-sister-in-law, Beyonce, she's in the news as well. She's going to drop an album, but don't call it a country album. According to Miss Beyonce, it's a Beyonce album. I ain't mad, Beyonce. I'm not a part of the Beehive, but when I say I respect greatness, Beyonce is one of the best to ever do it. One of the best to ever do it. She'll be releasing an album here shortly, and there are not a lot of details, and this comes courtesy of HelloMagazine.com. There are not a lot of details, but one thing that Hello Magazine and I do know is that this album serves as an implicit nod to her husband, Jigga Man himself, Mr. Jay-Z. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that new album. I don't know how she's going to do it, but she's going to do it. And do it. Do it till you're satisfied. All right. So, everybody that's looking at this on TikTok, and everybody who might want to look at it on TikTok, we were thinking that we might not be able to look at it on TikTok after a while. No longer, because Congress was weighing in on a bill that would lead to a nationwide ban of the popular video app. Now, contrary to what Soulja Boy said recently, they ain't trying to ban it because of him, because he made $500,000, $100,000 in a day. No, that's not it, Soulja. Big Soulja, Big Draco. That ain't it. Although, I'm sure that they were thinking about you, Soldier, but that ain't it. And I'm sure it has more to do with national security than you making a couple $1,000s. Anyway, that's more money than I got, so we'll leave it at that. Former Treasury Secretary Steve T. Mnuchin said Thursday he is assembling an investor group that would try to purchase the China-based. And that is courtesy of the LA Times. This should be owned by a U.S. business, Mr. former Treasury Secretary said in a television interview this past week. There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China. I agree. Just is what it is, people. Mnuchin is a former Los Angeles resident. Well, I'm sorry, he is a Los Angeles resident, and he's worked with investment banking, and he's a Hollywood film producer. He's trying to corral some folk to purchase TikTok so we can continue to talk and tick, and you can continue to look at my handsome face. I say that with no smile. That was not a joke. That was the truth. He is working diligently with investors so you can continue to see my handsome face. Not a joke. I can't keep Trey Faye no more. diligence and fervor, Mr. Steve T. Munkin. Anyway, Dr. Dre revealed his all-time favorite MC. And you'll have to go to facebook.com/surroundsoundpodcast and you'll be able to see who is his all-time favorite MC. And if there was ever a person, if there was ever a person that his, like, who he feels is the dude or the person we should listen to is Dr. Dre. But I'm going to tell you now, I think they're of Caucasian descent. Anyway, I might be wrong. Go to facebook.com/surroundsoundpodcast and you'll be able to see it for yourself. Speaking of my favorite MC and female MC, Missy Elliott, right here on Surround Sound.
The truth and not a rumor. This. This is the Surround Sound Podcast sponsored by.
Seven, one time. And this how we gonna do it, baby.
Welcome back to the Surround Sound Podcast, Basketball 101. I'm going to give you my Final Four, my champion, and my upsets of both brackets, men's and women's, 23-24 NCAA Basketball Collegiate Tournament. I got you. I got you. So just follow my lead. You know what I'm saying? I got you. Don't go off course. Don't try to ad lib. Follow what I got going on right here, all right? So, I'm gonna start with the less intriguing of the two, and that's the men's bracket. Okay? I got 7 upsets. I think this is gonna be one of those years where the top third is heavy, and everybody else, it just depends. It just, you never know what you're gonna get. It's gonna be on some Forrest Gump type stuff. You know, we'll see. I'll say this: if you won 30 games, if you won your conference championship, like postseason tournament, you on a roll. You hot. So that's where I was going. All right, so my first upset in the East bracket. Number 6 BYU versus number 11 Duquesne. Duquesne hadn't been in the tournament since I was in junior high. But they won their conference. A-10. I see upset right there. Upset. BYU lost in the Big 12 title game to Iowa State. Yeah, they did that. Iowa State is the number 2 seed in the East bracket. Duquesne. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Duquesne on that. Next upset, I saw a guy jump out the gym for Grand Canyon University. His name is Colin Moore. This dude do work. They go up against the number 5 St. Mary's, 26-7. That's all. Just 26-7, St. Mary. Like the other team in the conference that, you know, with Gonzaga, that occasionally beats Gonzaga out west. Grand Canyon won they tournament, though. I like Grand Canyon. They almost won 30 games, 29-4. We're going to rock. We're going to rock with GCU, Colin Moore. They won the WAC. I ain't mad at that. So that's 2 upsets so far. I'm sorry. And that comes in the West bracket. So we're still in the West bracket. And you know what? Alabama faltered late in the year. Lost Kentucky, lost to Tennessee, lost to Florida. They lost to, you know, better teams in the SEC. In their last 6 games, 3 of those games, they gave up 100 points. Y'all don't play any D. I'm glad it ain't Alabama, because no D is being played. So as good as Bama. College of Charleston. 9-game winning streak, 27-7. Winners of their conference. I'm calling upset, baby. Calling upset. So I see 3 in the West bracket. It is wide. It's wide open. The last, and this is purely off of human spirit. And where another team, they got shaky this year. Number two seed, Arizona, plays Long Beach State, 15 seed. Long Beach State, their coach basically got fired before their tournament. Them boys won 4 games in a row. And their coach is still coaching. I'm going with them. I'm going with them. That human spirit plus Arizona being they was cool. They went 25-8. But their human spirit, though, yeah. I'm calling upset. I got 3 upsets in the Wild Wild West, B. Just like that. So, the 2 teams that I feel will come out of those regions are Connecticut and North Carolina. All right, so let's go to the other half of the bracket. In the South, I got 1 upset. That's North Carolina State, the 6 and the 11. North Carolina State over Texas Tech. NC State is on a roll. A la Jim Valvano back in the 80s. These boys is on a roll. They beat a number 1 seed in their last game, North Carolina. Granted, North Carolina getting that 1 seed, I think, was a little bit shaky. If Tennessee would have won or at least made it to the championship in the SEC, I think Tennessee may have gotten that. Possibly if Arizona had been playing better basketball, they would have gotten that. Nonetheless, UNC got it. Upset, Texas Tech. North Carolina State, we rocking with them. We rocking with them. All right, so we got 2 more upsets in the Midwest. Once again, like I was telling you, you win 30 games, B. You win 30 games, and I mean, you win 30 games, you win 30 games. It's you're doing something right. And I'm going 5-12 matchup, McNeese State over Gonzaga. Gonzaga is just not the Gonzaga that we have grown accustomed to these last 10, 15 years. 25-7 is still a good record, but not the Gonzaga that we're accustomed to. We're accustomed to Gonzaga being 30-3. And it just happens, it just so happens that McNeese State is 30-3. Calling upset right there. My last upset. The number 11 seed, Oregon, over the South Carolina Gamecocks. Now, South Carolina defeated UT earlier in the year. However, in the second matchup, the Vols won. Oregon's coach has never lost he's like 7-0 in opening round NCAA tournament wins. You're 7-0. South Carolina, good team. I see them going home early. Now, the South and Midwest, Houston and University of Tennessee. So Purdue, I see them going home. Possibly that second, third round. Utah State, they ready. They ready to knock off the gentle giant and Mr. Zach Eddy. Moving, okay, so I got to give my champion. I gave you my Final Four, UConn, University of North Carolina, Houston, and UT. I got a repeat performance. I got University of Connecticut Tristan Newton, Coach Danny Hurley.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Hurley, yeah, yeah. That's what I see. That's what I see right there. That's what I see. Okay, so Division I women's tournament. I ain't going to lie to you. From about the Elite Eight on, catch every game, y'all. If this shakes out the way I'm seeing it, catch every game like from Elite Eight on in, cause it's gonna be like really, really, really good games. So, shout out to all the Tennessee teams that are in the women's bracket. That's University of Tennessee. That's Chattanooga. That's my alma mater, Middle Tennessee State. That's Vanderbilt as well. What I'm seeing, the upsets for me happen in the 5-12 with Vanderbilt and then in the Elite Eight. So Vanderbilt's women play Columbia in a play-in game. That winner will play against Baylor. They'll be the 12th seed. I'm saying that Vanderbilt women will win 2 games in a row. And they will upset Baylor in that 5-12 matchup. All right, that's right there. The next upset that I see are happening in the Albany 2 region and the Portland 3 region. I'm all the way at the Elite Eight. I see USC playing UConn and Paige Bucker, Gino Auriemma, and the girls, the ladies, will defeat Juju Watts and USC. USC, Lady Trojans, hey, they went off in the Pac-12 this season, especially in the tournament. Juju didn't even have a good championship game, and they still dominated. I'm rocking with UConn. It's just something. I'm rocking with UConn. That's the Portland 3 upset of the Elite Eight. Iowa and LSU. If that happens, I'm just going to be happy, period. But I see, yeah, LSU is going to is essentially a rematch of last year's Elite Eight between those two teams. I see LSU, Angel Reese coming through again. I really feel like LSU has some fire, especially after losing against South Carolina in the SEC Women's postseason conference championship. Yeah. Now, so that means LSU, UConn, half of my Final Four. My other half is Texas and, of course, South Carolina. Before I even looked at the bracket, I put South Carolina as my they're going to win that whole thing. But one thing that I do see, as Iowa kind of fades out with Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA, University of Texas, Texas Longhorn, Coach Sid, they're going to be that fourth team. I'm talking about Texas is already that deal. But they're going to be on the level of the South Carolinas, of the UConns, of the LSUs. And that's different. Definitely different. Also, University of South Carolina will defeat Notre Dame in the Albany 1 region. So we got USC as Final Four, Texas, Coach Sid, Final Four, LSU, and University of Connecticut. That's my Final Four, and we got South Carolina winning that thing. We'll be back with more on the Surround Sound Podcast. The name of this week's Sign of the Times is Spinning the Block.
From Teddy P to Tupac, from Cameo to Cool Moe Dee, we about to take it back.
I've got to sleep with one eye open.
My dude, lock in to the show, Doing It for the Culture, the Surround Sound Podcast.
Thank you so much for checking in with us one last time on the Surround Sound Podcast. The last segment for today is called The Sign of the Times. The title for this week is Spinning the Block. But before I get to today's topic, I gotta say, make sure you tune in with us for the next couple of weeks. On March 26th, we have African-American book illustrator and African-American history illustrator Crystal Wadlington. She's a native of the Kansas City area, and she will be our guest, and we'll be talking about her book and why she chose to use African-American coloring books as a conduit for our children. The second person we have on is going to be here April 2nd, or the first Tuesday in April. He is the owner of Punches and Bunches Boxing Gym here in Nashville, Tennessee. His name is Tremaine Cook. And Tremaine and I will talk about the fight game, talk about the upcoming fight between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, who he thinks will win, how to look, and all sorts of good information right there. Now, back to today's topic. Spinning the Block. On ABC this week, there's a show that I've seen 101 times. It's called What Would You Do? This week's episode highlighted one of Nashville's favorite current pastimes, the bachelorette party. On this episode, a bride-to-be and her bridesmaids were getting something to eat and seemingly got approached by her ex-boyfriend. Well, as the show is known for, the regular people in the establishment were unaware of the actors. We'll put a pin right there and we'll come right back. Let's understand what spinning the block is. Spinning the block is a term used by the cool kids these days to refer to doing something again after it failed or didn't work. Now, this is not the first time this has ever been known as far as a do-over, a mulligan, or another try. This isn't the first time. I mean, in tennis, you have fault and double fault. Even in baseball, you get three strikes before you're said to be out. Well, a regular person at the restaurant says something that was rather interesting to me in regard to the would-be bride, and it stuck with me, especially in reference to what I've done this past weekend. It said, why mess up what you have in this present moment simply for what you had in the past? Move forward. For if what you had in the past would have worked, it would have worked for you the first time. For all the good people here at the Surround Sound Podcast, we thank you for tuning in this week. Make sure you check us out on all socials and make sure you download and stream via any of your favorite podcasting platforms. In the words of the scholar Jerry Springer, be good to yourself.
The way the brother walks is beautiful. The way he talks is beautiful. The way he makes love to me is beautiful. You know, that's my man.